You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday, the 10th of January, 2023, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, I want to begin today by taking a look at what the World Economic Forum is saying about racism and the medical industry. And of course, we're now used to seeing racism being blamed for any statistical differences that there are between groups, as if there's no actual difference between race and ethnicity, when clearly we can see with our own eyes and we can hear with our own ears that there are differences between these people groups, and these statistics show us there are differences as well. But of course, the prevailing orthodoxy is to blame racism for all these differences. And the result of that, I think, is actually quite dangerous, the health implications of this. Instead of accepting that there are going to be health differences between the races, such as some might be more susceptible to diseases than others, and targeting the healthcare around that, instead of doing that, they're trying to say that there are no differences between these races. And when medical instruments show that there is a difference, it must be that the medical instruments are racist, or it must be that the algorithms a racist. And the World Economic Forum are now starting to do this, and this article actually comes from their website. Today's global medical industry poses a public health threat to millions of people around the world, and historical racism has helped shape it, according to new research. So it's just that white people have been discriminating against black people, and that's why there's a different health outcomes. Is that what they're saying here? A series of articles called Racism, Xenophobia, Discrimination and Health, published in The Lancet, point to the presence of discrimination in healthcare, which can cause avoidable disease and premature death among groups of people who are often already disadvantaged. And we've already had a look at these articles in The Lancet. And effectively what they do, it's the same with all of these things. They show that there are statistical differences, and because there are statistical differences, they take that as being evidence that there is racial discrimination there, simply because there are differences. And we can illustrate the ridiculousness of this just by looking at the statistical difference between men and women in prisons. The amount of men that are in prisons compared to women is about 99-1. It's about 99% of all the prison inmates are male, and about 1% are female. Now, you look at that and you say, well, that's obviously because men are more likely to carry out crime than women. And of course, there are reasons for this, probably the physical difference in size between men and women, that sort of thing, testosterone, maybe that plays into it. But we just accept that there is a difference between men and women. Men are more likely to carry out crimes than women. We don't say, well, this must be because the police force are androphobic and they are discriminating against all the men. We don't say that. And yet when we find that there are statistical differences between ethnic groups, we say, well, that must be down to racism, and that is evidence of racism. In fact, when the government did their report into institutional racism and they said, well, we can't find any evidence of institutional racism, a lot of black advocacy groups then came forwards and said, oh yes, there is institutional racism, why else wouldn't there be this difference? And the government report said that there were other reasons for these differences, things such as poverty, things such as the things that people eat, things such as school attainment, exams that you get at school, all these sorts of things were the reasons why there were these differences that the government pointed out. But the response to that was to say, well, these differences are just evidence enough. There can't possibly be any other reason for there being a difference other than racism. And that's effectively what they're saying here. That's effectively what The Lancet did. The Lancet studies find that both conscious and unconscious discrimination are significant drivers of racial health inequalities. And this unconscious discrimination, that's really a sort of catch-all clause that says even when we can't find any evidence of there being any discrimination, we can just say that it's unconscious discrimination because this difference still exists. A number of interconnected factors combine to diminish the quality of healthcare disadvantaged people receive, including via stress responses that directly affect the body, poor living environments, and factors that limit an individual's opportunities to improve their health. And that's the real reasons why we have these differences in health outcomes. And it's basically because of disadvantaged people are going to live in a less healthy environment. You can look at the fertility rates of some of the non-white groups in society. For instance, you can look at the fertility rate of Somalians or look at the fertility rate of Pakistanis. You can see that they have a higher fertility rate than white people. And as a response of this, they end up with more of them living within one household than you would have white people living within one household. And of course, that means if you've got more people living within one house, you haven't got such a healthy environment. And it means that if one person gets ill in that household, everybody else is going to get ill as well. And they haven't got so much room. And that in itself is a poor living environment. And that in itself can cause more people to get sick and ill. But instead of saying, well, there's a difference in people groups and some of these groups tend to live in all together in one house, they don't say that. They say, well, this can only be caused by discrimination by white doctors. And again, here they're saying that the stress that people who live in poverty are under, they're effectively saying that it's not the poverty that is causing this. It's a discrimination because it's a discrimination that causes the poverty. And of course, there are lots of reasons why there might be differences in earnings. And one of the main one would be school achievement, what exams you got at school, whether you got high marks, whether you carried on into college and on into university. And to go on into university, you would have to have an above average IQ, you would imagine. The average IQ is 100, yet we find some groups in society have an average IQ of 70 or 80. So that predicts that they're not going to do very well if they go to university. If they are put into university, they're not going to get top marks. And again, the universities look at that and they say, well, these particular groups in our university are not getting top marks. It must be because there's discrimination. The university must be discriminating against them. We'll have to give these groups more money and we'll have to give them free tuition and we'll have to give them scholarships. And it hasn't worked. I mean, it hasn't increased the rate of these groups that get the top marks. So what they're doing now is that they're actually lowering the standards to try and get more of these groups to get top marks. But if they're not going to get top marks, they're not going to get top jobs. If they're not going to get top jobs, then the average of the group is going to be lower than a group which does provide people that are capable of doing the top jobs. So you can see that school attainment, exams, how well people do at school, that can directly affect what level of poverty they are in when they're adults. And of course, if you are in a level of poverty, you're also going to be more likely to have health problems. And that's the reason for these health problems. But the World Economic Forum wants people to think that it's all discrimination here. It's these doctors are just discriminating against non-whites. Of course, here in Britain, in the NHS, we have lots of non-white doctors in the NHS. I mean, what are they saying? Are they saying that these non-white doctors are deliberately discriminating against their non-white patients? Institutionalized discrimination in healthcare, access and care quality has significant real-world consequences, is what they say here. As I pointed out, the British government did an investigation into whether there was institutionalized racism in Britain, and they said that there wasn't. But according to the World Economic Forum, There is, and it is this institutionalized discrimination which is causing these differences in health outcomes. So then they come up with an example of this. Using COVID-19 as an example, Black or Latino people in the US are up to 1.8 times more likely to die from the disease than white people, data from America Centers for Disease Control shows. So simply, because there is a difference in the death rate, it must be down to discrimination. Well, what about the differences in the number of people that get cystic fibrosis in the white people group? And what about the number of people that get cystic fibrosis in the black people group? Cystic fibrosis, as far as I'm aware, it's pretty much only white people that get that. Let's look at sickle cell anemia, which is something that only black people get. If they were to look at the sickle cell anemia number, they would see that many, many more blacks get sickle cell anemia than whites. Does that mean that the white doctors are discriminating against the blacks? Of course it doesn't. You know, another disease that blacks are more likely to get is prostate cancer. They're more likely to get prostate cancer and to die from that as well. Are they going to claim that that also is down to racism? I mean, if they're going to claim that because black and Latinos are more likely to die from COVID, it must be institutionalized racism, and it must also be institutionalized racism, which is causing more of them to die of sickle cell anemia and more of them to die of prostate cancer. Of course, they don't actually say that. They do say that black males are more likely to get prostate cancer, that, you know, they admit that. But clearly, it's the same thing here with COVID, yet they're refusing to admit it. People of Native American ethnicity experience higher rates of hospitalization from COVID-19 infection than other groups. And, you know, I would look at something like that and I would say, well, this shows that there are statistical differences between groups. It shows us that our eyes are not deceiving us. When we see one people group that is different to another people group, they don't just look different. The statistical analysis of these groups also shows difference. They have different characters as well as a different form. I mean, you could put that together as form and function. Form and function are intimately connected throughout nature. If something has a different form, it has a different function. So if you see a people group that looks different to another people group, they're going to have different strengths and they're going to have different weaknesses to that other people group. And they're going to have different health outcomes. The same is true in other places. Black people in the UK are 1.9 times more likely to die from COVID-19 than white people, for example. So we find the same thing in Britain. How about we have a look at it in Africa? I mean, if you look at, say, the crime rate, and you can see that blacks are more likely to end up in prison, more likely to be prosecuted for violent crime. And of course, people say that is evidence of racism. David Lammy did an entire report on this, saying he found that it was the same in America, that it was in Britain, that it was in Europe. More blacks were in prison for violent crimes. And instead of going and having a look at Africa and seeing what the level of violent crime was in Africa, he said, well, this must be down to racism, must be down to discrimination. And what we see here, the same thing. They're talking about these statistics in America. Because they have the same statistics in Britain, they're saying, well, it must be down to racism. And interestingly enough, if you look at these African countries that didn't have the vaccine, they don't tend to have very many people that actually catch COVID or die from COVID. But then again, you can also say, well, one of the reasons for that might be that they have a very young age. On average, some of these African countries have an average age of like 25 or 30. They're all under the age of 40. So that might weight the statistics in some way. But what they're basically saying here is because we find this the same in Britain as we do in America, it must be racism. They say this pattern of discrimination extends to other treatments, ranging from cancer to prenatal care, research shows. And we talked a bit about prenatal care here before and the differences that there are in statistics between black women and white women. And black women are more likely to get pregnant, they're more fertile, they're more likely to have twins, they're sexually active younger, they start their periods at a younger age, and you would expect there to be differences in prenatal care and postnatal care, and just different statistics. And I've already pointed out one of the main statistics where there is a difference as far as cancer is concerned here. Black males are more likely to get prostate cancer. But what they're saying here, the World Economic Forum is saying, that's not because there is a difference in ethnicity. That's because there's a pattern of discrimination. It's all white people's fault. Part of the problem, they say, dates back to the early days of medical history, where myths like phrenology, a 19th century theory popular in Europe and America that equated different shaped skulls with certain character traits, persisted, claiming that black people's bodies were physically different to white people's. I mean, that is just an outright lie to imply that that is not the case. Black people's bodies are significantly physically different to white people's. They have longer legs and shorter trunks than white people, for instance. I mean, that's something that you will notice. And they also have a different head shape, something called prognathism, I believe it's called, something like that. The jaw is at a different angle to white folks. The actual space that there is to hold a brain is smaller than in white people. When you look at, if you look at the proportions of a black person's face and you look where the eyes are, you'll see that they're not exactly in the middle, which is where they would be in a Caucasian skull. They would be roughly in the middle. If you look at a black person's face, the eyes will be higher up because there's a smaller space in which for the brain to fit into, basically. And you can even look at the brain as well, and you'll see with white people that there are more folds, so there is more surface area in a white person's brain than there is in a black person's brain. So there are quite clearly physical differences between the races, yet they're claiming here that there is no difference at all. They're saying it's a myth. Black people's bodies are physically different to white people's. Now, phrenology, I think that was something to do with seeing the bumps that were on somebody's head and being able to tell what they were like from the bumps on their head. And of course, that is just folklore, isn't it? That's just superstition. But as far as actually taking measurements are concerned, you can see by taking the measurements that there are quite clearly differences between ethnic groups, between their body shapes, between their features, between their proportions. I mean, we can look at black people and we can also see that they've got much heavier bones. They've got much thicker bones. They've got much smaller chest cavities. And of course, because we deny that there is this difference, even though we can check out the biology books and check out the statistics and check out the scientific papers that show them, but because we deny this difference, we actually end up with lots of black people dying from drowning, because they think they should be able to swim just as easily as white people. I think in America, something like five times as many young black children end up drowning in swimming pools than whites. And that's the reason for it. We had a whole black family that ended up drowning a year or two back. It was an absolute tragedy. I think it happened when they were on holiday in Spain or something like that. And they just couldn't work out how this happened. Well, I can tell you how it happened. It happened because they're told that they are no different to white people, so they expect to be able to swim as well as white people. And we even have, an Olympic swimmer, and he's white, and he's married a black woman, and he's expecting his child to be an excellent swimmer. But, I mean, the child itself is already going to have an extra difficulty compared to his father because of the proportions, the body weight, the bone weight, the smaller lung capacity. All of these things are going to affect the child's ability to swim. So, I mean, that just shows you that even people that are at the top of their game, like an Olympic swimmer, is unaware of this. And this is because the whole public narrative is that there is no difference between the ethnic groups, no difference between races. But quite clearly there is, and you don't have to go that far to look to find these differences. I would recommend people check out Professor Edward Dutton's book on race. That contains the most up-to-date information on all the studies that have been done that show these different racial traits. But according to the World Economic Forum, it's just a myth that black people's bodies are physically different to white people's. Although these debunked ideas no longer persist, they say. I mean, where is it debunked? Where are they debunking this here? I mean, they're basically saying that to say that there is a difference between black people's bodies and white people's bodies is the equivalent of phrenology, and saying that different shaped skulls correspond with different character traits, and that's not what these scientific differences show. That's something that's not scientific, isn't it? Looking at somebody's skull and saying, well, we can tell from that skull whether you're going to be a criminal or whether you're going to be a doctor. I mean, you can tell by the size of the space that the brain is going to be in. You can tell a certain amount from that. You can also tell from the skull what race the person is, but you can't really tell, you know, what individual character somebody is going to have from a skull. And that's quite obvious, but they're linking that, somebody claiming to be able to do that, with somebody saying that there is a difference between black people's bodies and white people's bodies. So they haven't debunked this. What they've tried to do is associate it with something completely different and then ridicule the something that is completely different. So they continue, they say, although these debunked ideas no longer persist, their legacy can permeate the foundations of global healthcare provision with unconscious bias built into many assumptions. So they're saying this is the reason why we have these different health outcomes, is because originally they said that there were differences between the people groups. And my point that I would like to make is that it's denying that there are these differences that causes the problems with the health outcomes. If you're going to deny that black people are more likely to get prostate cancer, you're not going to target that group for prostate cancer awareness, are you? And if they're going to deny that this COVID-19 problem, there is a difference in these statistics and it's down to the difference between the races. Instead of that, they're going to say, well, it must be white people's fault for discriminating against you. If those figures don't come down and black people are still, you know, two times more likely to die from COVID-19, they're going to be blaming white people for this. That's going to be the result of this. It's just going to build resentment between black people and white people, simply because there is a statistical difference in health outcomes. They say, fast forward to today, and studies have found similar bias in some of the smart healthcare software being developed. While algorithms are not racist, they do contain the assumptions and unconscious bias of the health systems that develop them, which impacts on how they operate. So they're saying it's the person that built the algorithm, he's the racist, when in actual fact, it's basically just that these algorithms are showing these differences, and any difference they're trying to blame on racism. They say here, a 2019 study published in Science found evidence of racial bias in health algorithms in the US that reduced the number of black patients recommended for additional care by more than half, for example. Of course, that sounds quite shocking, doesn't it? If these resources are not being directed where they should be directed. But it's not because of discrimination. The algorithm was programmed to use health costs as an indication of health need. But because less money was spent on black patients who have the same level of need as white patients, the algorithm falsely concluded that they were healthier than equally sick white patients. Changing the algorithm subsequently removed the racial bias. But it wasn't racial bias here, was it? It was that black people don't spend as much on health insurance as white people. So it basically showed that they were not as concerned about their health as white people were. And that's because they didn't spend so much money on their insurance, or they didn't go into the hospital. But it's not because there was racial bias that was built into this. It's not because the algorithms are racist or the guy that developed them were. It's just that black people are less likely to get insurance. They're less likely to be concerned about this sort of thing. And again, we would find that to be predicted just by looking at other statistics on for saving, for instance, saving money, maintaining things. You can look at South Africa to see how well they have maintained the infrastructure, to see that there is an issue there with black people thinking about something that might go wrong in the future. And if you're talking about health insurance and you're feeling healthy at the time, you may look at that and think, well, why should I be paying money for health insurance? I'm feeling quite healthy now. And it's that sort of an attitude that leads to people not getting health insurance, which means that less money is being spent on it by that particular group, which means that this algorithm is going to say, well, obviously they don't get that ill if they don't need the health insurance, not that much money is being spent on them. So you can see that there are other reasons for this. But what they want to do is promote this idea that all of these differences, all of these different health outcomes, it's down to white wickedness. It's just down to white people not caring about blacks and building their algorithms in order to deliberately discriminate against them. I mean, that's the sort of thing that they're saying here. The Lancet series of studies highlights the fact that structural racism in the health system has received too little attention. That's because there isn't any racism there. There is differences, yes, there are differences. And what they should really be doing is looking at those differences and targeting the areas that the differences show, rather than looking at those differences and saying, right, we must now target white people and blame white people for there being this difference. And then the difference will change. Of course, the difference won't change. It's like there's another statistical difference here as well, which is the number of black people that donate blood and donate organs. Now, blood is roughly equated to race and ethnicity. If you are one particular blood group, you're not going to find many in another race that have the same blood group. So they have to specifically target black people to try and get more of them to donate blood, because there isn't enough of the blood groups that there isn't enough blood for the blood groups that are predominantly associated with the black ethnicities. And it's the same with organ donors. If you are having an organ, particularly marrow rather than organ, I mean, if you're going to have a marrow transplant, you have to be very, very close to the donor. Not just, I think, part of the same ethnicity, but even part of the same family. But with organs, if you're given an organ by another ethnic group, then your body is going to reject that organ. So there isn't enough black organs to go around. So they're particularly targeting blacks to say, we need put more people to offer to donate kidneys when they die. We need more people to offer to donate blood. Yet if all the people groups could be chopped and changed around, they were all exactly the same, then it wouldn't matter, would it? They wouldn't need to have specifically black people donating organs and donating blood. But they don't actually look at those differences and say, well, look, that is the reason for there being these different health outcomes. Less black people are inclined to donate blood or organs, for instance. No, they just say that it's all down to white people. It's all down to structural racism. White people just built in this deliberate discrimination into their systems, which, of course, we didn't. And the very fact that we're talking about this now shows that we wouldn't do something like that. Categories such as race and caste are biologically arbitrary, and that's what they say here, but of course they're not, are they? Categories such as race and caste are determined by your ancestry. It's determined by who your father married. That's what determines what race and what caste you are. It's not just something by chance. I mean, if you happen to be of one of these white ethnicities, that means that all of your ancestors going all the way back married somebody else that looked exactly like them. They didn't choose somebody from another ethnicity to marry. They chose somebody that looked exactly the same as them. And that's the only reason why you would be white today. So that's not arbitrary, is it? That's a deliberate decision by every single one of your ancestors. And that's the reason why you are white. Yet what they want to portray here is that it's all just by potluck determining what ethnicity that you are. What is potluck is what country you're actually born on, what territory you're actually born on. That is arbitrary. But who your parents marry and what ethnicity you are, that's not arbitrary. That's determined by your ancestors. That determines what family you belong to. Categories such as race and caste are biologically arbitrary, but the discrimination that minority groups face is very real, and public health has a responsibility to address these issues, the study notes. Well, I would say that it is the other way around, that this discrimination isn't there, and that white people are bending over backwards to try and help black people and non-whites, and we've always done that. It's not like we said we're not going to share our civilization with you. I mean, we got rid of the slave trade. We literally had to put the Navy outside Africa and force them to stop selling slaves. We got rid of the slave trade. We brought them our civilization. We helped them to develop Africa. We allowed them to come into our countries where we created these laws to try and give them a leg up and a helping hand. And yet we still get accused of this discrimination, as if we're discriminating against them. And that will continue unless you have ethnically homogenous societies, because there's always going to be that fear there that you were discriminated against if you have multicultural societies. And the only way to prevent that is to have ethnically homogenous societies. And then there can be no racism. Then there can be no fear that you've been discriminated against on the basis of race. And there are always going to be these differences in health outcomes. And what they have to do is they have to admit that there are differences between the races, and that is what causes these differences in health outcomes. It's not that white people are deliberately discriminating against blacks. Finding ways to ensure a diverse and inclusive world is one of the challenges that will be discussed at the World Economic Forum's upcoming annual meeting in Davos in January this year. But this is just it, isn't it? They're not trying to ensure a diverse world, are they? They're trying to get rid of all the diversity by moving diverse groups of people together all into one territory and then telling them they're all the same so that they interbreed together, which will get rid of the diversity. And at the same time, the World Economic Forum is trying to develop countries. And what they mean by that is to give them a capitalist system, set up McDonald's and all these other mainstream multinational corporations within that country so that the country looks no different to any other country. In actual fact, what they're trying to do is to eliminate all diversity and make everything the same. That's what they're trying to do. And they say they're trying to make this an inclusive world. Well, nobody's going to feel more included than when they're amongst their own family, are they? Which again just goes back to this idea of if we had homogenous societies made up of one ethnicity, everybody would feel included, wouldn't they? Everybody would feel included, and we would have a genuinely diverse world, because each country you went to would have a different ethnic group within that did things in a different way. That would be the way to preserve diversity, and that would be the way to encourage inclusivity. But instead of that, the World Economic Forum want the opposite. They say leaders from government, business, and civic society will use the platform, that's the World Economic Forum in January, to address pressing global issues like access to healthcare and help find solutions. So we can get an idea of what they're going to do just from looking at this article, really, can't we? We can see they're just going to find statistical differences between people groups, and then they're going to blame white people for it and say that it's discrimination that has caused this. And when they do that, they just encourage the division within societies, and they just encourage resentment between groups. And it makes it a lot easier for their representatives to rule us when we find it difficult to unite. And of course, the easiest way to unite is on your ethnicity. That's why they do all they can to stop people from identifying with their ethnicity if they are white, because they know that if we were to get together based on the fact that we're all part of an extended family, we would be much stronger in our resistance against them. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.